Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, offering online bachelor completion programs, including business, education, nursing, and more. Information is available at viterbo.edu/completion.
Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And today on the show, our first segment is going to deal with our state parks and our forests. They offer all kinds of opportunities for us. We got the campgrounds, you got the beaches, you got the trails, ways to escape from our life. And we've got a great new book out, the title of which is Wisconsin State Parks, Forests, and Recreation Areas, A Ranger's Guide. And James Buchholz is going to be with us to talk about that. But before that, Jill Nadeau, our executive producer for the show, came rushing in to say, hey, don't forget, it is our year-end member drive.
It is indeed.
And as you listen, I hope you'll think about this. You count on WPR News for reporting and in-depth discussions. And it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong.
It certainly is. And today is the start of a special 48-hour challenge. So become a WPR sustainer by making an ongoing monthly gift, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. I wish I could do that with some of my bills.
me too. And I should, you know, I should give the way to for people to contribute. Let me do that.
It's a secret.
Go to WPR.org. That's WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution and get in on that match up to $10,000. A generous group of members offered this. It's their way of encouraging you to sustain the WPR programs that I hope inspire you and inform you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I learned so much today about the state parks. And, you know, your participation, it's just vital to how we do business here. And you can help meet our match before the end of the day today. It starts with your sustaining gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We are part of public radio, and, you know, sometimes I think people wonder, what the heck is, what does public radio mean? Well, it means listener-supported radio,
for one thing, yeah. And, you know, we appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, but listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR. So your contribution of any amount, really, it matters at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We cover so many important and interesting issues, and I think do it in a kind of a nice way, too. And I know that you rely on this news coverage and the conversations like we have here on the Larry Mueller Show, and that's why your gift during our year-end member drive is so important.
And it would really, really be nice if we had a strong finish on 2024 so we can keep you informed in the months to come. You make your year-end gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What I like about Wisconsin Public Radio is that it can brighten my day and help me laugh.
It helps me get outside of my own head.
I love the idea that it's a different perspective. It's a fresh outlook on listening.
Listening to public radio has opened up my mind to all that can be and all that is.
Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution during our year-end member drive. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, biggest source of our funding, isn't it?
Yep, it certainly is. You know, that's why your gift of maybe $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact. So giving to WPR it's easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
Yeah, and that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and Please give as generously as you can.
And you can make an even greater impact when you become an ongoing monthly giver right now. Your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. Join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this drive, we're offering a really cool and fun pair of WPR socks.
I like these, Larry. These are really nice.
I do as well, and I don't always like our socks.
No.
But these I like.
These I like a lot.
Yeah. And we can give those as a thank you gift. We think you're going to love them. They're WPR themed, of course, and they're both cozy and practical. So you can ask for your pair when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Be like Virginia in Sparta, who says, I love the Wisconsin-produced content like the Larry Mueller Show. So do we, Virginia. We appreciate it so much.
Join with your gift right now. Very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. And Joe, you better come running back in here.
I'm staying, Larry. I'm not moving anywhere.
You're not going
anywhere. No, I'm staying
here.
Okay,
well, you could join in and ask some questions,
okay,
too, of our guest. Jim Buchholz with us now. Retired state park ranger, supervisor, and he's authored this new book. It's really cool. It's titled Wisconsin State Parks, Forest and Recreation Areas, A Ranger's Guide. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. Oh, Jay Vinn's already joined in to talk about the favorite parks that Jay Vinn likes. I think Mirror Lake comes into play with Jay Vinn. So we'll talk to Jay Vinn in just a minute. You can join in too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. Jim Buchholz, thanks for joining in today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Larry. I heard about the member drive while I was driving in my truck this morning, so I sent in a pledge this morning. So,
well, good on you. Thank you so much. I'll tell you what, this book, I it's really packed with stuff. But you tell us, what's in this book?
Well, it's a book that includes all the state parks, forests, and the recreation area, and there's 80 of them, so there's 80 chapters, and each one features one of those properties. Each one has color photographs, which I took as well, and it talks about the hiking, biking trails, campgrounds, interpretive trails, swimming beaches, boating, and just about everything you can do at a state park, and also some of the things nearby that you might want to go and see while you're in the area. And then I also include some ranger tips, I call them, and I like to sneak in some trivia here and there, that just interesting things that I found out that I didn't know about either of the park or the local area.
Yeah, I love those. Those are those little sidebar stories are really fun. And you didn't mention it, but the photos in here are wonderful as well. This is a high-quality paper, and the photos are all high quality. And you took most of them?
Yeah, I took all of them.
All.
I had visited most of the parks before, and I took slide photography. But when I decided to write a book, I thought, well, I'm going to have to go back to every single, all 80 properties, which I did with my wife, who was very good about following me along. But it was fun. You know, that was a fun book to write, and it was fun to revisit all the parks and get to some of them that I hadn't gone to before. There was probably 10 or 12 I had never gone to, and it was fun to go back and do it. And so that's how it evolved over, I'm embarrassed to say, about 10 years it took me to do this.
Well, I tell you what, it's practically 500 pages, and I like the size of it too. It's what, 6x8 or thereabouts,
and right. And
so it's a handy book, and it's packed with great information about our parks. You know what? Let's get Jay Vinn in from Madison. Jay Vinn, what's on your mind?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to, the book sounds really interesting, and I just wanted to comment. One of my favorite parks is Mirror Lake State Park. It's near the Dells, pretty much in the Dells. It has just nice camping, but some of the best kayaking and canoeing, because the canals kind of go up through into the Dells themselves, but there's no, you know, there's really no motorized boats on the lake, so it's all paddling. I like to go in the fall. There's usually a lot of mushrooms, interesting mushrooms to see. And it also has Ishinawa Supper Club for the times when we don't want to cook at our campground.
Yeah, that's I've made many a trip there myself, to both the park and to Ishinawa, to be perfectly honest. Well, Jay Venn, thanks for calling. Jim, Jay Venn picked a good one.
I sure did. Actually, that's one of my favorite parks as well. And the book itself, the cover of the book, is actually a photograph of Echo Rock Trail from Mirror Lake State Park. So, one of my favorites. And it's really an oasis, you might say, from the hustle and bustle of the Wisconsin Dells area. If you want to get away from that or not even go there, it certainly is a beautiful park on a beautiful lake. And, beautiful lake for fishing and for canoeing and lots of different activities, and a great beach there as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I enjoyed about the book is you got a nice little history of the park system to begin the book. You know, maybe give us the thumbnail version of that history.
Yeah, actually, it started, you may know that it's the 125th anniversary of the state park system, and that's something that the Bureau of Parks and Recreation are going to be pushing forward with this year, 125 years. But actually, the park system almost got started about 20 years before that, in 1899. The legislators were going to establish a state park. And it didn't quite work.
Where was that? Was that Vilas County?
Yeah, it was going to be Vilas County. It was going to be 760 square miles, which should make it the size of the Smoky Mountains National Park, if it would have worked. But unfortunately, the state only owned about 50,000 acres back in those days. And then right after that, the lumber companies pretty much purchased all the forest land in the Northwoods, including, as it turns out, the land that the state already owned. So it didn't quite get off.
But our first one was interstate.
Right, interstate. And finally, in 1899, the legislature tried again, and this time they were okay. They 20 years later, they finally established the interstate state park. And so that is our number one state actual park, which was developed even before there was anything in the government to maintain them, which is kind of interesting. It took us another 10, 12 years to do that. But if your listeners don't know where Interstate is, it's in northwestern Wisconsin in Polk County. It's just like northeast of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And it's a beautiful pick. I mean, you couldn't go for a better first park than that. It's right on the St. Croix River, which is now part of the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. And it's not real big. It's about 1,300 acres, but it has a beautiful campground and really is known for the beautiful 200-foot rock bluffs right along the river area.
It's a beautiful park. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful place. And it sounds, you know, it said interstate. Well, that reminds me of the road. But I tell you what, that park is absolutely gorgeous and a great place to visit. Jim Buchholz, our guest today, we're talking with him about his book, which has to do with all of the state parks that we have here in the state. It's actually called The Ranger's Guide and the Wisconsin State Parks, Forest, and Recreation Areas. And one of the big users of the state parks is Jill Nadeau, who's come rushing back in.
I'm here, Larry.
She's back from her reverie. And she's probably reaching for her pocketbook as we were talking about those socks. But it really is our member drive, our year-end member drive, your financial support. It's the foundation of all of the news coverage and discussions you enjoy here every day. So I hope you'll make a vote for this program and make your tax-deductible gift right now for 2024 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Everyone was perking up when you said tax-deductible, Larry. It's that time of the year. And you know, you can make an even greater impact when you become a sustainer right now. And here's how that works. You make an ongoing monthly gift in support of WPR programs, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. Tell us why, Larry.
Yeah, well, there was a group of generous members who have created this challenge to inspire your ongoing monthly support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
And we have until end of day tomorrow to match up to $10,000 of new sustaining gifts. And I heard from the powers that be that we still have $8,668 to go, Larry. So there's plenty of money there for you to get matched if you want to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's so much fun talking with Jim Buckles. Good guy, great talker. He's 40 years as a park ranger, and this book that he's put together is fantastic. And as we talk with him and as you think about the other programs that we have, how is your life enriched by it? How is it unique to public radio? We're listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Absolutely. You know, we learn so much every single day. I just learned about, you know, this other interstate park.
Yeah.
Never heard of it before, Larry.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't grow up in Wisconsin, but still, I've been here for a long time. I should have known, but now I know. You know, more than 25,000 WPR members are proud sustainers, and they learn something like I did every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that they make ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
It means that you too could get involved in this. You can provide a reliable strain of funding for the programs you care about. Become a sustainer now. Choose an amount, say it's 10 or 20 bucks a month, and then set it up to be ongoing. Easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's that time of year to get cozy, or as the Danes say, higgy. Hygge? Hygge?
It's pronounced hygge.
How do you practice hygge?
My family and I, we will sit on our massive couch under big Sherpas in front of the fireplace and have some tea, hot chocolate. Oh, I do love a good chai.
I like to get in my Mickey Mouse sweatpants, get under a blanket, maybe watch a little Maud, Facts of Life, some comfort TV like that. Am I dating myself?
So I don't actually practice hygge. My cat does, and that's when I get to feel it. When she purrs and crawls up on top of me and falls asleep, that is the comfiest I can be.
Add one more item to your list, a pair of toasty WPR Merino Wool Crew socks with a Wisconsin-inspired design. Ask for yours now when you donate $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Oh, got our mics back, Larry.
We temporarily lost our mics, but that's all
I'm sure
right.
It was exciting and everything.
Well, you know, silence sometimes can be an attention getter.
It is. Silence is golden, too.
Silence is golden, but not when if you're going to call with a contribution, though,
that's
silence
true.
Is not golden.
No, that wouldn't be helpful.
Go ahead and use your voice and call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Or if you don't want to do that, you can go to WPR.org. Now, that is really quick and easy to do. I went to the site this morning just to make sure it was working, and
it's
working.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Your support during this year-end drive makes all the programs you enjoy on WPR possible, whether it be this one or others that you like. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And, you know, I've got to tell everybody, someone who does the website, though, is there's no good pictures of those socks on the website that I could find. And that will sell those socks, because you need the picture to understand how gorgeous they are. So just my advice, just saying. Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. So join this team effort with your gift right now. Say maybe $10 a month. You decide the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you, of course. Your contribution, any amount, will be turned into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what I loved about giving from when I started years ago, was that I could give what I could afford. So make your gift right now. It's the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
You can kind of do double duty because we have that new sustainer challenge for $10,000. And also you can get your toasty and stylish WPR socks this year. They're moisture wicking, I'm told. They're breathable, merino wool, and U.S. made.
Ooh, gives me tingles, Larry.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Just ask for yours, your pair. And I'm going to do this. I'll do it. I always add extra money every time we have a drive. But you can ask for your pair and get $15 a month or more. And that, if you do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you're also part of that new sustainer challenge.
That is correct. Kathy in Hayward says, I love the Larry Mueller Show. Well, that's pretty simple. I guess that just kind of lays it right out there. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy. What about you? Give your gift right now. It's so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we talk with Jim Buchholz. He's put together a Ranger's Guide, the title, Wisconsin State Parks, Forests, and Recreation Areas, all 80 of them here in the state. And we're talking about some of them. I hope you'll join in. If you got a favorite one you want to talk about, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Love to hear from you. You know, by the way, Jim, we didn't mention this, but you kind of got the state sectioned off into three areas. And what I like about it, you can look in the areas, and then you can go to the chapters, and you've got the table of contents is organized by those various regions, regions 1, 2, and 3, which you can look at on the handy map. And then go down the list, and there's so many new and I tell you, I love the way you've got that organized, Jim, with the regions, and then the chapters kind of corresponding to those regions, it really makes it handy, if you want to visit state parks in the state or the other areas, the forests or the recreation areas. Man, this is a it's easy to look at and to do.
Yeah, I tried to break it down into three regions, the northern region, parks and forests, and then kind of the southern and southwestern area, and then the Lake Michigan Door County area. And the map itself has all the parks listed on there by the chapter number. So it's pretty easy to figure out where to go on that. In the book itself, really you could read it from one end to the other if you want to, but of course you don't have to. It's designed so you can pick and choose. If you want to just look for properties within, 100 miles or 50 miles, that, it's kind of easy to do it that way.
Yeah, it actually is. I was looking at the parks that came after Interstate. Interstate was the first one, and I thought, oh my goodness, the next three I have been to many, many times. Devil's Lake State Park, which is what, probably our most visited park?
Oh, yeah. It's also the largest. It's the largest state park. It's over 10,000 acres and definitely the most popular. It's right now, they've listed it at about 2.3 million people that visit that park every year. But it's got over 400 campsites. It's got two swimming beaches. I mean, it's really a premier state park. And it's for anybody listening who has not gone there, you might say, well, wow, that's pretty busy. Maybe I don't want to go there, but everybody should. I mean, it's just a beautiful park. Towering bluffs above the Devil's Lake itself. Definitely worth a drive for sure.
Yeah. So that park came on in 1910, if I'm not mistaken. And then right after that, in 1911, we got Wyalusing State Park. And talk about that park.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parks. I actually lived there for several years. I was the park manager there. I was stationed at a couple different state parks and forests around Wisconsin. So that's home to me. I mean, I had a home there. Back in those days, you were required to live on state property at a lot of them. And there was a state house there that I lived in with my family. So that's kind of a special park for me. Actually, it was called Nelson Dewey State Park to start with, until they developed another park by the same name in honor of the governor, Nelson Dewey. But anyway, that's a beautiful park perched also on bluffs, kind of overlooking the Wisconsin River and the Mississippi River, which actually joins at that particular area. You can see both those rivers at the conjunction of those two rivers. And then in the distance, you can see Prairie du Chien. And there are campgrounds. One of the campgrounds is overlooking the bluff area, and it's a beautiful sight, especially at night. You can see the lights of Prairie du Chien in the distance, and so many neat hiking trails in that park. It's one of our older state parks, but still one of the best.
Actually, another park that I have visited, and that might have been the first park, Peninsula. Did I mention Peninsula State Park? I don't think I did, and I have spent winter, summer, spring, and fall in that park, and that was the park that came in 1910.
Yeah, in 1909. That was the second state park that was developed. Also a very busy park. That one is 1.2 million people visit that park. It's in Door County. It's on the I guess you would call it the western end of the peninsula. It's actually on Green Bay. So it's a peninsula, just like it says, Peninsula State Park, a peninsula that goes into Green Bay near Fish Creek. So a very, very busy part of Door County. But again, one place everybody should go and visit, I think. It's about almost 4,000 acres, but I think it's got the most campsites of all the parks, 472. So.
Yeah, and for views, you can be right down by the water's edge, or you can be up on a high cliff looking down on the lake, and the views and the scenery there is just absolutely fantastic. At any time of the year, by the way.
Yeah, they just built about 2 years ago the Eagle Bluff observation. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that yet, but
oh yeah,
that's become something that people just go just to see that. It's something to see. It's a 60-foot observation tower, but it's accessible for handicapped wheelchair use, and it's got a long, long ramp that goes up through the trees, and it's just something to see, but it's accessible to everybody.
I kind of like that ramp. Actually, I've gone up the steps many a time, but I took the ramp once just to see what it was like, and then I have come to use the ramp anytime I go up there, to be perfectly honest, because you get some nice views as you go along the ramp, and I can't remember if I've ever been on there when there wasn't someone in a wheelchair also going up that ramp with a big smile. So I think everybody smiles when they're at Peninsula State Park. Tim and Madison's got another one, though, for us. Let's go there. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Larry. I wanted to just do a shout-out to Heritage Hill State Park in Green Bay. It's really not a very traditional state park, as we know, but as I understand it, the DNR does own those historic buildings that were relocated there along with the land. But there's a corporation that manages the park. It's kind of set up like Old World Wisconsin, where you could tour through some of the old historic buildings from Northeast Wisconsin and Green Bay. And curious to know if our guest has stopped by there to visit.
Yes, I have, and more than once. It's a really neat place to go. They've got 24, I believe, historic buildings there. It started out with the Brown County Historical Society. They were removing buildings in Green Bay, and they wanted a place to put them. And so they got this piece of land right along the Fox River. It kind of is perched above the Fox River area. And that's where they put them. And it was just, it's really interesting. They have in summer, in fall and spring, they have guided tours to some of the buildings where people are dressed up in the, garb of the 18th century. And it goes through a whole area from when the first explorers came all the way up until the 1800s. So there's different levels of history of Wisconsin, which really makes it interesting.
It does indeed. Tim, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. What about you? You can join in, too. What's your favorite park? Some information on it, or maybe a question about our parks. Number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. There's a couple that Joel Padnaud and I noticed that were former state parks that you have in your book, a couple of former state parks. One of them was, what's the story on the Lost Dauphin Park?
Lost Dauphin.
Dauphin.
Yeah, Lost Dauphin. Mm-hmm.
What's that story?
Well, that's quite a story. It's still owned by the state. It's the local township now maintains it, but it's still listed actually as a state park in the brochures. But it's again, it's one of those co-managed properties. But to get to that, you have to go back to France with King Louis and his wife Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake.
Yeah.
When they were guillotined during the French Revolution, they had an 8-year-old son, Prince Louis Charles, and he was considered a Dauphin of France. Now, a Dauphin is a royal title given to the eldest son of the king, in other words, the king to come. But he was put in prison. They did not kill him, but there were accounts that he was secretly sent to Canada, where he lived, was adopted by a Mohawk family, eventually went to Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, became a Protestant missionary, and he got to Wisconsin by leading a group of Oneida and Stockbridge Native American groups to find a new homestead because they were being evicted from their area on the East Coast. So he managed to purchase over almost 5,000 acres along the Fox River area. This would be just to the west of Green Bay. And his idea was to develop a Christian Indian empire, declare himself ruler. but that didn't quite work out. In fact, the Oneida and Stockbridge people said, forget it. And they eventually settled on their own land. But anyway, much later, there was another prince from the newly restored King of France was a prince, came to Green Bay, and he wanted to talk to this guy. He's got a new name is Williams. And Reverend Williams talked with him, and he told him, guess what? You're the long-lost Dauphin, and you're the rightful heir to the French throne. So that's how that all came about. He never tried to claim that title, but they made a whole state park out of that. It's not a big park. It's a small wayside park along the Fox River. And he had his cabin there for years. I went there years ago, and there was a cabin there. And unfortunately, it was burnt down by somebody. But there's still a state
plaque there, a stone plaque. And, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's one of those places that – and there's several – of them in the book like that. They're just so unusual that I had to include it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jeb Buchholz, our guest today. His book is A Ranger's Guide, Wisconsin State Parks, Forests, and Recreation Areas. That's kind of one of the stories that you're, and things you learn about when you pick up his book as it relates to our parks. And here we are at our year-end member drive, and Jill hit me over the head with a piece of paper. It wasn't hard. It didn't hurt. But I'm late getting here to tell you that this drive is your chance to support the news and conversations you count on every day here. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Very important as we end this year and look forward to 2025.
Larry, if I'm going to hit you over the head with anything, it's going to be heavier than a paper, piece of paper. Just saying. Become a sustainer today when you set up ongoing monthly gifts in support of WPR programs, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. A generous group of members has set aside $10,000 to encourage folks to sustain WPR.
And, you know, I was looking to see how much money is left on our...
latest is $8,308.
Okay, we've got still left. Okay, yeah. I tell you what, there's still room.
Plenty of room, yes.
Start your monthly gift, any amount right now. It'll be matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, here on the show, we focus on how to make your life better every single day. From practical advice to topics that, you know, affect your community. We talk about Wisconsin wildlife, interesting things going on in the university and in the state, health, consumer protection, and even sports, right, Larry?
Once a month, whether we need it or not. And today, of course, we're talking about this book about Wisconsin State Forests. And just to mention, later on, we're going to be at the second segment, we'll be talking about the new extension, the work that's going on to reach farmers here in the state. Big changes have come in the last few years. And people are looking at them as very positive changes. Do you know anything about it? Well, you're going to learn about it at noon today. And I think that kind of information is vital for all of us. Sometimes it's not, you know, sometimes it's just kind of fun and interesting. Other times I think it's kind of vital to know these things. And you get that here at WPR. And I hope you will support us financially with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. It's WPR.org that you can make your contribution to. Or if you want to phone, you can phone us at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. And we're asking for your support for the quality programs that you value on WPR. Your contribution, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference for our entire community.
It certainly does. And think about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a friend recommended it, or because it was so interesting or had great programs on it, or maybe you were just scanning the dial. But no matter how you first found WPR, now you're hooked.
And whether it's been years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution, $10 a month or $120, supports the programs that you've valued since the first time you listened. So be a part of making WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Make an even greater impact when you become an ongoing monthly giver right now. Your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. So join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can pick up those socks, too.
Yeah, those socks.
That WPR socks as a thank you gift. They're really nice socks, and they're yours with a $15 a month or more contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Diane in Appleton says, I count on WPR to keep me informed. Thank you, Diane.
Yeah. Your gift right now, very powerful, really makes a difference. If you haven't done it yet, do it now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Talking with James Buchholz on the program today, he served as a parks and forest supervisor and ranger for 40 years and has written the book. This is a beautiful guide, A Ranger's Guide, Wisconsin State Parks, Forests, and Recreation Areas. And there are many callers online. Let's go to the phones. Bob and Mellon, thank you for calling.
Okay, you can hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. I have been a part of the Friends of Copper Falls State Park for a number of years now. And I think people should know that with the state cutbacks in funding for state parks, your local friends groups have really sustained Wisconsin state parks admirably. And so our Copper Falls State Park near Mellon has benefited tremendously from our friends group.
Bob, thank you so much for calling. And Jim Buchholz, I'm sure you're going to agree with what Bob had to say about the friends groups.
Well, that's for sure. And Copper Falls, again, that's one of my favorite state parks. I have a lot of them, but that one is a beautiful state park.
It is.
And I know the friends group there do an excellent job. And I think they have breakfasts even there to raise funds. It's just wonderful. But pretty much every state park and forest and some of the recreation areas have a friends group. And these are volunteers. Some are just members, but many of them are volunteers that work in the parks. They do everything from being campground hosts to being nature center hosts to some work in the offices. Quite a few have work groups that work in the shop, even in winter. They'll work on picnic tables, and they just do a tremendous amount of work. And each of the nonprofit groups, the friends groups, are all part of, kind of organized under the umbrella of the Wisconsin State Friends Group. And they kind of coordinate things. But just, I don't know what we would do. And he's correct. I'm not sure what the parks would do without these volunteers to help out.
Yeah. Bob, thank you again. Ron in Weyerhaeuser, your turn. Hi, Ron. Oops, we lost Ron. Let's go to John in Stevens Point.
Hello?
Oh, no, we got Ron. Sorry. Ron, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Larry.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to the Flambeau River State Forest up in Ross Sawyer, Price County here.
Oh, yeah. The Flambeau River State Forest. Jim, do you want to talk about it?
That's a beautiful, beautiful park. If you've never been there, it's worth the drive. It's a little drive to get up there, but certainly it's one of the nicer ones to go and see. I don't know, is Ron still on the line? Or
Ron, are you there?
Yeah. I guess the real highlight is, you know, you got obviously the Flambeau River flows right through the entire length of it. So you have chance to primitive camp. There's river campsites that you can that are there first come, first serve. You can canoe down the river, jump on a river campsite for a longer trip. You have elk in the area now, a fairly good elk herd, so it's not out of the possibility of hear elk bugling in September or maybe seeing one crossing the river. The other thing about the Flambeau is it's kind of in a good way in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot of most places on the forest, you don't get a cell signal. So if you want solitude, it's really a good place to go.
Yeah,
it's large too. I mean, it's nine, I think, over 90,000 acres, if I recall. It's up in covers several different counties, Ashland, Iron. One of the big things for the Flambeau is it's got 75 miles of the Flambeau River, which is just outstanding whitewater canoeing and kayaking. I mean, it's really a paddler's paradise. They have camping and hiking and all that stuff, too. But, boy, if you like to be a kayaker or a canoer, this is quite a wilderness river to go on.
Yeah, it is indeed. And Jim, you have put together a wonderful book. And I tell you, during this holiday season, it's a tremendous opportunity for your for me personally and for any of my friends that I want to give this book to. And I think others will be taking the same approach. Jim Buchholz is the author, and the book is Wisconsin State Parks, Forest, and Recreation Areas, A Ranger's Guide. Take a look at it. You're going to be amazed at what you find. I learned, even though I've been to many, many of these parks and areas, I've learned a lot myself. And I always learn a lot when I talk to Jill Nadeau. She's the smart one in the room right now.
Right.
She's here to talk about this Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive. And I hope, take a chance right now. Join in and support the news and conversations you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, Larry, you can do two great things as we close out 2024 on WPR. You can become a sustaining member by making ongoing gifts, and you can get your first year of installments matched.
That's right. Your monthly gifts, along with the matching funds provided by our generous group of members, will benefit the WPR programs you value in the years to come. Start your monthly gift, any amount right now, and get it matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, I have learned just so much just listening to this segment, even though we didn't get to talk to Jim too much about his book. And there's so many parks to cover. I just learned of three new parks I could go to that I didn't know about before. And that's the kind of stuff we love to share with you here on the Larry Mueller Show. And I think that our listeners love that kind of thing. And we can do this only because WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
Great time to make this your last gift of the year to WPR. I'm going to be doing it. I hope you will, too. It just takes a couple of minutes of your time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station you've enjoyed all year long and that you're looking forward to in 2025.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau, and join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And when you become a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step. Now take the next step and become a financial supporter.
And that's an important step because WPR relies on listener support, and it's also easy to donate.
Super easy.
Yeah. So I would say decide how much you want to give, $10 a month maybe, or $120. That's a great starting point.
Absolutely.
And then make your gift.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple of minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And that gift of $10 or $20 a month makes intelligent radio available to the entire state of Wisconsin, even beyond. And you can see why your gift is so powerful.
And the gift, again, $10-$20 a month, is making a big impact. It's accomplished in just a few minutes. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You just choose the amount.
That's right. And you know we have that new sustainer challenge today. It's up to $10,000. So choose an amount of that maybe that $10, $20 a month, and your entire first year will be matched dollar for dollar. Join us as a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know what, Jill, if you're already a sustaining member, hey, make the day you increase your support of WPR to buy $5 or $10 a month, whatever you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Thank you.
Great to have you along here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention on the program to extension. Used to be called cooperative extension and had an ag agent in every Wisconsin county, but it's really restructured in a much different way, I think, to meet the demands or the needs of farmers in our state. And we're going to be talking with a couple of experts, people who know a lot about the changes and what it might mean for farmers, maybe to you here in this state, with our two guests as we move along during the hour. We are in the year-end member drive here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I want to take a couple of minutes with Jill Nadeau to talk about that. You count on WPR News for reporting, for in-depth discussions, and your support keeps these conversations going strong. So I hope you'll give a gift now. Your gift makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2025. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we're starting out with a bang today, Larry. It's the start of a special 48-hour challenge. So become a WPR sustainer by making an ongoing monthly gift, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar.
And the match is up to $10,000, and it's offered by a generous group of members as a way of encouraging you to sustain the programs that inform and inspire you here at WPR and certainly the entire state of Wisconsin.
It absolutely is, and your participation now is really vital. You can help meet this match before end of day tomorrow. It starts with your sustaining gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and of course we get funding from the federal government and from state government, but it's really a voluntary listener contribution or contributions that make up the largest source of our funding.
So what that means is that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important you are, make a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, you can kind of celebrate the end of the year by supporting WPR. Your gift ensures that we continue to provide quality program in the new year. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I think it's a great business model in that it operates using donations from people and donations from corporations. It works. I'm happy to donate because I think it's so important. And I'm happy to donate more because I know there's some people out there that can't. It's just great company in the house. I'm Mary from Menominee, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for everyday listening.
Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, still the biggest source of our funding for WPR.
That's right. Mary from Menominee is a very sensible woman, Mary, or Larry.
She knows her business.
She knows what she's doing. And we know that you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do it, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
And if you give now, you can make an even greater impact because you're going to become an ongoing monthly giver. You can get the first year of installments matched dollar for dollar. Join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I always talk myself into contributing extra every single drive. And this drive, I'm going to do it in part for those socks, the WPR socks.
Before they're gone, Larry. Yeah, do it soon. It's a limited amount, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll have to do it after the show. It says while supplies last. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll do it right now. But what about you? I think you're going to love these WPR-themed socks. They're cozy and practical. Looks like they're made of good quality.
They're wool. So,
yeah, they're wool.
Merino wool.
So, how do you get them? Well, you can contribute at least $15 a month or more, and we'll send you a pair.
That's right.
WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It won't be for Christmas, but you'll get them in the middle of the winter when it's dull and, you know, cold outside.
It'll
and
be
like,
nice
oh,
surprise.
Thank goodness I did that. Naomi in Hayward says, I've been a listener for over 50 years, and I have learned so much.
Your gift right now can make a big difference. It's powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your gift. As we turn our attention to extension and how it is meeting the needs of agriculture in the state. As I mentioned a few minutes back here, one time we had cooperative extension. We had an ag agent in every county in the state. I interviewed them, many of them, not all 72, but I got a lot of them over the years. But now we have restructured with UW-Madison Division of Extension, and I wanted to talk about that change because I think it's important for everybody, whether you're a farmer or not, for sure. And we've got a couple of guests to talk about it. One of them, Heidi Johnson, is director of the UW-Madison Division of Extension Agriculture Institute. That's the name. One of the changes, all right? That's the new name. Heidi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And one of our new hires is also with us today, relatively new hire, Stephen Hall. He's an assistant professor and extension specialist in the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences in the UW-Madison College of Ag and Life Sciences. Steve Hall, thank you for joining in.
Well, it's a pleasure. Great to be here, Larry.
And as we talk with Stephen and Heidi, I hope you'll join in with your questions or experience to share about UW Extension and the Agriculture Institute. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Heidi, let me turn to you first. You've worked for the Extension for, I think, past 15 years or so. What's the mission of UW Extension, this new role of the Agriculture Institute?
Yeah, so we have always wanted to take the very, very excellent research that happens in the university and be able to take it to the citizens of the state to apply it to real world problems. So that's the mission of all of Extension, is to really, we are the Wisconsin idea. I like to remind people that we are the original Wisconsin idea. We are all across the state, and I have to give a nod to the other institutes. I am the Ag Institute, but there are six institutes in Extension that cover a wide breadth and depth of different topics, and they have staff all across the state as well. So I represent 1/6 of our institutes, and particularly focused on agriculture. although a part of the Ag Institute is the HORT program. So I also have to mention, while we serve farmers, we also serve consumer horticulture audiences that want to know about how to grow things the best way. So we do that as well. So really my mission since I've been the Institute Director over the last 6 years has been to continue to evolve and improve how we do that. How do we take the best research that we have and apply it to real world problems for the people that need it?
Yeah, and it's a big job. There's no doubt about it. And Steve, I know you're relatively new, let's say. The last couple of years, the Ag Institute, I think, has hired a lot of people, 35 outreach specialists, I think, something like that, and regional educators as well, over 20, 24 maybe, something like that. And Steve, you're one of those new hires.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a really exciting time to join Extension, and there's great energy and enthusiasm, and I think we're really hitting the ground.
So you started as an Extension specialist and an assistant professor in the College of Ag and Life Sciences, and I got to tell you, that's how I started, too. I was an Extension specialist and a professor, but how do these... for you now and the new organization and everything, how do these two roles relate to one another?
Absolutely. I think it's sort of the best of two worlds, right? We get to be, you know, faculty at a world-class research university and train graduate students and do cutting-edge research, but we have a direct avenue to get those findings on the ground, as Heidi mentioned. And so... You know, with our linkages to Extension to the regional specialists, we have really well-trained colleagues that can help us do more than we could just sitting in Madison. I mean, there's only a certain amount, as you know, Larry, like there's only a certain amount one person or one team can do. But, you know, within Extension, we have access to wide range of folks around the state and to their own networks with farmers and other stakeholders.
So, Heidi, back to you for a minute. Let's kind of talk about this role a bit more in this organization a bit more, because it, you know, we no longer have an ag agent or a hort agent, ag or hort. Usually they were often double duty. So how does it look differently then?
And I'll just point out, we really have three different position types now. So Stephen is what we call an integrated faculty. So Extension funds him, but he really resides in the College of Ag, and that allows him to collaborate really well with other faculty at UW-Madison to do great research. So we have those integrated faculty, we call them, that are in other units. And then out across Wisconsin, we have two types of positions now. We have what are called outreach specialists, and those positions really cover a big geography of the state, or almost the whole state, or a big portion of the state, and they're focused on a specific discipline. And so we have about 35 of those, you mentioned, Larry. And then we also have what are called regional educators, and those regional educators are either in crop, dairy, or livestock, and they're covering about 3 to 5 counties. And so we have this sort of layering that's happening now with our staffing that allows us to both be able to connect, because we really survive and do our work by connecting with people. That's our specialization, is the relationships we develop in Extension. So we want to be able to connect with people across the state, but we also want discipline expertise. And so that's what the staffing plan that we've done over the last few years was meant to do, was to both be able to connect at the local level, but be able to maintain the type of discipline expertise we need to work with producers across the state.
I was thinking back just the other day, we talked to the Department of Surgery at UW-Madison, and we talked about how that sort of grew, and you know, there were people in the beginning that were doing everything, sort of like our county ag agents were right. doing, and then they specialized, and you know, and people got the doctors got much more specialized in right. and really knowledgeable about particular areas, and that sounds like what you got going with Extension, excuse me.
Exactly. And we're really, we're evolving with our clientele. So this is not this is exactly what agriculture looks like. So back 100 years ago, when Extension started doing the ag agent model, farms were smaller, more diversified. There was many, many more of them. And there was a different way of, that they were getting their information. Now farms have gotten bigger, as most people are aware. They're more technical. There's a lot of technical aspects to farming. So I usually joke with farmers and say, they don't usually have a crop consultant that also provides them their dairy nutrition information. Those are specialized roles in agriculture. And so Extension, the Ag Institute really has looked at how do we follow what our clientele are doing. They have specialized, we should really be specialized so that we are relevant to that cutting edge of agriculture.
So how do you keep that going, and how do you keep up to date on what farmers are wanting then
new setup? Yes. So our outreach specialist positions and even our regional educators, they really specialize in something. And Stephen's position is a really great example. Stephen focuses on water quality, and he's doing research around the intersection of agriculture and water quality. And so we also have ag water outreach specialists, and those outreach specialists they have a deep understanding of the latest research on the intersection of ag and water quality, and they're able to deliver that information to the farming community. So we also have a beef outreach specialist. Because he only does beef, he can focus on beef production. He can know the latest research on beef production and deliver that to our clientele. So really allowing someone to have a very much more specific position allows them to stay deep and knowledgeable about that topic. So I personally served as a general county agent as I started my career with Extension, and it's overwhelming to think about answering a tree question in the morning and then trying to have someone come to you with their beef nutrition question. It's overwhelming, and you feel like you can't be good at anything because you're so busy trying to do everything.
Yeah, makes sense. Heidi Johnson and Stephen Hall, our guests today. Heidi's director of the Agriculture Institute within the Division of Extension. Stephen Hall, Steve's an assistant professor and also an extension specialist in the Department of Plant Agroecosystem Sciences at the UW-Madison in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. There's a lot, I know that these folks are really smart and up to date and experts. And one of the experts in radio that I know is Jill Nadeau. If I have a question, I'd go to Jill.
And I have an answer. Whether it's true or not, I'll give you an answer, Larry.
Here she is to talk about our year-end member drive. And it just we have to kind of keep reminding people, or people come and they go on the air. They're listening. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Some people listen through the whole show. But in case you're just tuning in, your financial support is the foundation for all the great news coverage and discussions you enjoy here every single day. So make your tax-deductible year-end gift right now for 2024 at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And today you can make an even greater impact when you become a sustainer. Do it right now. And here's how it works. Make an ongoing monthly gift to support WPR programs, and your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar.
We've got a group of generous members who've created this challenge to inspire your ongoing monthly support of the programs you and your community rely on.
And we have until the end of day tomorrow to match up to $10,000 of new sustaining gifts. So your monthly gift of any amount now makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a part of Extension for my whole career, so it was really exciting for me to be able to talk about the changes that are coming or have come and are continuing to evolve as we move along here. And I think it's important whether you're, I'm not a farmer, I'm not in it, but I'm interested in it for what it means for the whole state of Wisconsin. And these are the kinds of programs we like to do. We like to provide programming that probably unique to public radio. And here we are, listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and then make your gift.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. And as a sustainer, you make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
I'm a sustainer every single time we have one of these.
I'm a sustainer year-round,
that's
Larry.
Not what we're talking about. Many people give 10 or 20 bucks a month, and you choose whatever amount's right for you. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I really like listening to shows that have a combination of both news and social commentary. So I love shows like To the Best of Our Knowledge, and I love the fun stuff on the weekends. For me, it's really nice to feel like I'm both getting news and entertainment and not wanting to turn off the radio when I get to my destination.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
You know, I've sat in the car a few times.
Me too.
And to hear the end of a conversation, and it's one of the kind of fun things about listening to WPR. Maybe that's happened to you. If it has, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Your support's so important. Your gift could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you're a sustaining member, and thank you. Thank you so much. Consider making an extra gift to say $50 or $100 at WPR.org at 888-202-2552. Join in this drive. Remember, it's tax deductible. And thank you for your extra support for the programs that you enjoy every day.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and help out with our new sustainer challenge today. Up to $10,000. You can choose an amount, say $10 or $20 a month, and your entire first year will be matched dollar for dollar. Join us a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right, and I just got an update, Larry. We're climbing up there. We just have $8,116 to go. So we're climbing. It's slow, but
it's
we
slow.
Are climbing.
Yes. We are. We are. We are climbing. And we'll climb a lot faster if people could only see those socks.
Oh,
those
I
socks,
agree.
I'm telling you,
they're
Toasty,
so cool.
They're moisture wicking, if you wanted to know. And
wow.
They use breathable merino wool.
The best.
And they're made right here in the U.S. of A.
Wonderful. So USA sheep.
So how do you get how do you get a pair? Well, when you give $15 a month or more, we'll send you a pair at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Maybe it's been a while. Whatever amount that you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Like Vernon and Stevens Point says, it is the least that I can do to do because I listen to WPI several hours a day.
Join in with your gift right now. So important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Well, after years of reorganization, the Agriculture Institute within UW-Madison's Division of Extension has a growing staff of experts and researchers to help Wisconsin farmers and those interested in horticulture. Of course, farmers are too, but there are home horticulture folks as well that may be a part of this. We should ask Heidi about that. Heidi Johnson is who I'm talking about. It's the Institute Director. And we also have with us a guy who knows a lot about water and water quality and working with farmers in relation to water. Stephen Hall is an extension specialist within Extension and the College of Ag and Life Sciences. So those are our guests. Give a call if you have a question or maybe an experience that you've had with Extension. I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. 1234, or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm looking at the numbers a little bit, and we're not going to necessarily have a specialist in every county, but there will be people working within maybe, what, five counties, Heidi, or three sort of areas, right?
Yeah, the regional educators cover 3 to 5 counties for crops, dairy, or livestock production. And then we also have outreach specialists that are across the state covering different disciplinary areas. I will mention also for horticulture, we do still have some county-specific horticulture educators. And as most people might guess, they are mostly represented in our urban areas because that's where there's a lot of horticulture education. So our county funding partner really values having horticulture educators in the counties, and they have continued to fund having county-specific hort educators in many places across the state.
As you might know, I do a show called Garden Talk every Friday.
And very familiar.
We have leaned heavily on the extension horticulture specialists because they know a lot.
They
know a lot about across a broad range of things. And is there the outreach folks, do they get to travel? I mean, do they go out and travel, or what happens there?
Yes, they do go out and travel quite a bit. One of the things that happened during the pandemic is our farmers actually quickly adapted to online education. It was actually a big surprise for me about how quickly our clientele pivoted to that delivery model. And so we've been able to use a lot of online delivery. It doesn't replace the extension relationship part. And so we do need to pair that with, you know, in person. But what we've been able to do is maybe have, you know, someone in one location that can host an event. And then sometimes they're bringing in someone by Zoom to give a presentation. And so we've been able to bring together the best of both worlds of using, online delivery, but still keeping some place-based educational programs so farmers also have something to attend.
Very cool. John in Stoughton has a question. Let's go there. John, hi.
Hi there. How's it going?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
So my daughter's going to be a senior in high school next year, and she's looking for some sort of real-life experience with horticulture or entomology. That's her field of interest for what she wishes to pursue for college.
So are there – so I guess John's asking through extension, are there opportunities in the areas of horticulture or entomology for internship purposes? You may – you know, something you may not be familiar with, Heidi, but.
Yeah. We sometimes use interns for various things. It's not a regular thing for us in extension. Sometimes for specific project-based things we do. I would highly recommend looking into a undergrad program in horticulture or entomology. I personally have a master's in entomology and can tell you that the entomology department at UW-Madison is excellent, and there's a lot of learning experiences. They have an insect ambassador program where you can actually go take insects out and interact with kids. And so I would highly recommend anyone coming out of high school consider that at UW-Madison.
Yeah. John, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jonah in Suamico. Hi, Jonah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I had a question about aquifers groundwater versus exposed water.
Okay.
Which is more difficult to clean up after a, say, like chemical spill or leaching from chemicals from fertilizers, which is more difficult to clean up?
Definitely sending that one to Steven.
Yeah, I know Steven just grinned. He knew he was going to be talking. Go ahead, Steve.
Absolutely. That's a great question. I think it really, unfortunately, it sort of depends, right? It depends sort of the scales that we're talking about. One challenge with groundwater is that oftentimes the pollutant inputs, the problems that we have are many decades in the making. It simply, it really depends on how shallow or deep an aquifer we're thinking about. So one example, right, a lot of Wisconsin is dealing with nitrate issues that have sort of accumulated over decades. And it's honestly, in many of these cases, it's going to take us decades to start making progress. Surface water, right, we may be able to make some more immediate changes again, but it's sort of a question of scale. How big of an impact can we actually have? And where is that surface water going, right? If it's flowing to a lake and we're driving phosphorus inputs to that lake, again, we may be dealing with a long-lived problem. It's a great question. We could discuss it for a whole show or more.
So what's the, let's zero in on some of your research then, Steve, because I know you're doing some work on soil sample, you're working in the north central part of the state, are you not? Explain what you're up to, and that gives us a good example of how things are working within Extension now.
For sure. I'll maybe highlight a couple of projects that involve really close interactions with our Extension staff. And so there's a lot of producers that are really interested in understanding what practices they might be able to implement to get a handle on some of these water quality problems like nitrate leaching, for example. And so we have some projects in the Central Sands. This is an area of the state that's especially vulnerable to nitrate losses, but it's also really a hotbed of agricultural production for the state. A lot of really high value specialty crops that are really important to the economy. And so we've had some great partnerships with farmers that are very interested in thinking outside the box in terms how they might be able to adopt new practices to get a handle on this. So thinking about unusual soil amendments, different ways of managing crop residues, creative ways of that we might think about changing our fertilization strategies. And in all of these projects, there's active involvement from the local Extension staff.
And so the local staff is kind of carrying out that, or helping carry out that research, or carrying out that research?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And so it's really sort of a triangulation between our group and that local staff and the farmers. And I think, that sort of that combination has been really valuable, having, the specialized field staff that have a closer relationship, and then we can come in and hopefully provide some more insight about how best to design studies or to measure different things or deal with data.
Heidi Johnson and Stephen Hall, our guests today, as we talk about those changes within Extension and how it is impacting, I think in a positive way, our farming community and our agriculture community. And you can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@wpr.org as we coast through our year-end member drive. And just to mention again here, your chance to support the news and conversations you count on every day that keep you in touch, informed, inspired. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. So important as we end this year and look forward to 2025. And Jill, you probably want to talk about sustainers.
I always want to talk about sustainers, Larry, and today is a special day because, well, first of all, sustainers is when you set up ongoing monthly gifts in support of the programs that you like. Well, this time, right now, your first year of installments is going to be matched dollar for dollar. So this is because a very generous group of members has set aside $10,000 to encourage folks to sustain WPR.
And I think there's about $8,000 left, so still room for you, your gift to be matched. Start your monthly gift any amount right now, and it'll be matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And in a single month, think about this, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There is so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet and topics to discover. And when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of those conversations possible. So take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We do probably about 50, at least 50 a month, just for our program, for the Larry Mueller Show program.
Oh, yeah, at least.
At the least. And I tell you what, sometimes you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is a place where I think that's true every day. With the hundreds of interviews and discussions that you have, maybe consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
And you know, $2 doesn't buy much these days, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually makes a lot of news or music or information possible. So that works out to about $60 a month. And you know, if you think about one of those subscriptions that you have that you probably don't remember you have, this is a much better deal because you use it every day. So make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And John, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it very much. What about you? You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau.
That's me.
That's her. And we're asking you to support the quality programs that you value on the station. And your contribution, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it really does make a difference.
And if you've never given to WPR before, well, here's what to expect. It's a really short process. It takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
And that's pretty much it. Yep. Make that first donation to WPR. You're going to feel good about it. And I know many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. That amount really up to you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And make an even greater impact when you become an ongoing monthly giver right now. Your first year of installments will be matched dollar for dollar. Join as a sustainer right now with your monthly gift of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm thinking of starting the WPR Sox Club. I could be the president. Anybody who has a pair of those WPR socks, we can get together at a local place and
For a sock hop, Larry. You could have a sock hop.
I tell you what, we're offering a good pair of these socks. They're really nice. You could become a part of the Larry Mueller and WPR Sock Club with gift right now. At they really are. I mean, all kidding aside,
yeah,
these
very
are nice socks. Ask for your pair when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sophie in Milwaukee says, I grew up in a household which deeply valued public radio. It's important to me to continue supporting the tremendous work that you all do. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you, Sophie. I did that, too. I was a young kid listening to WPR at home. My folks always had it on at noon, as a matter of fact.
And who knew you'd grow up to be a huge part of it, Larry?
Oh, huge is right. I need to lose some weight. Join with your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Great to have you along today. We're taking a look at the Agriculture Institute within UW-Madison's Division of Extension with two guests. Heidi Johnson is director of the Ag Institute. Stephen Hall, assistant professor and extension specialist in the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences in the UW College of Ag and Life Sciences. Great to have both of them with us. Questions about it or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And let's turn to Mark in Wisconsin Dells next. Mark, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I often see people gathered at Das Bauerschule out in the countryside, and I've often wondered if that's an extension program.
The Bauerschule, it's an Amish program, a farmer school, if I'm not wrong in that. You guys have a knowledge of that, and whether has extension played a part in that at all?
I do not believe we have any touch with that program. I mean, we definitely, Amish are one of our audiences, and so we definitely work with Amish producers on a variety of things, but aren't specifically involved in that one.
And, okay, Mark, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Let's talk a bit more about some of the projects. Now, Steve talked about some of the water research projects. Could you outline some of the things that are going on in the other areas? Because it's not only water, it's other areas as well.
Sure, yes. We have a wide variety of programming that happens across the Ag Institute, and I would definitely recommend checking out our website if people have not before, just to see the type of events and things that we have going on. But I will say, Stephen mentioned this collaborative research, and that's a big push that we are doing right now in the Ag Institute, because farmers are very interested in being a part of research on their own farms. Not only does it help with them to see it and experience it, but they also become believers in the outcomes of that research, and they help us share that message. And so we're doing lots of research, not just around water quality, but crop production, different ways of producing crops with different methods. We do lots of that across the state, doing dairy research on dairy farms, different aspects of dairy production. And I think that really is our niche. There's a lot of ways people can get information right now on the internet, and trying to sort through what's real and what they really think could work on their actual farm or in their actual yard. People really want to experience it. And I think that's what the university's niche will be now, is really helping people evaluate things on their own property as a way to increase adoption.
So will a lot of the research that is going on within the College of Ag and Life Sciences, will that be directed in some ways by what is coming from the folks out in the field?
Yeah, it's always a two-way conversation. So, you know, people like Stephen have, they only can develop their research questions and their research protocols if they're out there listening to the people that are experiencing things on the other end. And that's the wonderful part about extension, is it's a two-way street. And so we continue to have that open dialogue with our clientele to hear what they want to know about, and we help them design the evaluation. So, Stephen, you
want to? Yeah,
absolutely. And just building on what Heidi said, you know, I think a lot of our best ideas come from farmers. It's right. It's, you know, that's where a lot of the creativity happens. And then we start that circular relationship of helping to, you know, test something out, give the results back, and they say, well, this works, this doesn't work. Maybe we try it differently next time. And so it's a great conversation to be a part of.
Jim in Port St. Lucie was wondering about financing for this. How, you know, where does the money come from? What's the funding? How does that whole thing work?
Yeah, so I think I can confidently say that Extension has one of the most complicated funding portfolios that ever existed. So I will say that for sure. So we are funded by a mix of federal, state, county, and other dollars. So there's lots of different things. And oftentimes there's a mix of all of those different types of funding on an individual educator, depending on what that educator is doing and where they're working. So it is really it's really a complicated mix. I mean, we are the basis for our effectiveness is relationships. And so those relationships really bring in the funding mixes that we bring together to support the work. So the way that, just specifically to answer the question, we used to, the county agent model that we used to have for agriculture was federal and state dollars that we matched with counties to pay for an individual county educator. We've been reimagining that a little bit. Our counties have had tighter budgets over the years. They're not, they don't have as many dollars to invest in extension positions. So we've been really reimagining that. And a lot of our outreach positions, particularly the positions that work statewide or in big regions, those are funded mostly by state and federal dollars. They're not part of a relationship with the counties, the county government right now.
And I'm thinking about my own research and the dollars that I procured. A lot of that came from outside research funding, yes. and I've just wondered, you know, a guy like you, Steve, you're probably applying for grants or research through other outside sources to help fund that work.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Larry, is that all the work that comes out of our lab, the vast majority of it is funded from outside grants from a wide range of federal and sometimes more regional or local or even state agencies.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the system at the UW as a whole, what is it, $1.2 billion or something like that coming into the state through efforts like you and everybody else who is involved in that process. Man, we didn't cover all of it, but we covered a good share of it. And hopefully we can get you both back, or we individually even, to talk more about your specific work and what's been going on. I really appreciate it very much. Heidi Johnson, director of the Agriculture Institute within the Division of Extension. And Stephen Hall is the assistant professor and extension specialist within the Department of Plant and Agroecosystem Sciences at the UW-Madison. And another participant, Jill Nadeau, is also the executive producer of Wisconsin Public Radio's The Larry Mealer Show and is back with me to talk with you about this year-end member drive. It's really important. Join in and support the news and conversations you rely on as we come up to the kind of the end of our show and the top of the hour. I hope you'll give now in support of this program and all the other shows with a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I'm here to suggest that you do two great things as we close out 2024 on WPR. One, become a sustaining member by making ongoing monthly gifts. And two, get your first year of installments matched.
Yeah, your monthly gifts, along with the matching funds provided by our generous group of members, will benefit the WPR programs you value in the year to come. So start your monthly gift, any amount right now, and get it matched at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we just learned about the new things that are going on at Extension, and really, where else would you hear about this? Mainstream media is probably not going to cover it like we just did. So that's one of the type of things that you tune into WPR to learn about. And you know, WPR is listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your gift.
End of the year on a high, you can end the year on a high note with a gift to WPR. Your support makes a difference in the programming we offer all year long. Donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You learned a lot from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this year.
I learned something new every day from Wisconsin Public Radio. Cooking, how to get better sleep, the news of the day, and why I should care.
I learned a few new recipes for meal prep for the upcoming year.
Oh my gosh, I've learned so much from WPR listening, from politics to how to select the right shingles for my roof, what books to read, presents to buy for my friends. I could go on and on.
Here's one more fact before the year ends. The largest source of funding for the news, conversations, and music on WPR is listener support, your support. Now that you know, make your year-end contribution for WPR. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution for our drive, Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. It's very important that you give now because our support, our programs depend on your support. And we do live in a generous society.
We do live in a very generous society. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we just hear the bad, but there's so much more good. We're quick to help a neighbor or coworker in need, and we chip in for good causes. And you can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
And if you've never given to WPR before, now's a good time to do it. When you do your funding, the programs you and the many others benefit from every single day, many times first-time donors give $10 a month. The amount's totally up to you. If you give $15 a month, we'll send you a pair of socks.
That's right. And if you're a first-time giver, welcome to the family.
Oh, I tell you what, we have so much enjoyed being with you today, as we do every day. Jill and I spend a lot of time here thinking about this program and how we can make it better for you. And I hope you'll take a minute now and support us. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you so much.